Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to another service from Unity Center of Light, from our home to your home. We look forward to bringing this to you today. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pam Mosby.
And we always want to remind you of the Zoom fellowship that's right after this service, where you get to see your Unity friends and hear some great music and just, you know, interact with each other, ask questions about the service, or, you know, it's just give you a chance to connect. So we look forward to seeing you there, and we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thank you. Good morning, Unity family, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me now as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement together. There is only one power and one presence, active in my life and affairs, God, the good, omnipotent. Amen. And now we will have our daily word reading for today, Sunday, May the 16th. The key word is strength, and the affirmation is divine strength invigorates my body and quickens my mind. If I feel my energy waning during a time of vigorous physical or mental activity, if my get up and go has got up and gone, I remember these inspiring words from the Prayer of Faith by Hannah Moore Kohas. God is my strength, unfailing, quick. The strength of God is my strength, and it's more than sufficient to meet my every need. More than toughness or forcefulness, spiritual strength is quiet fortitude, a rootedness in the inexhaustible wellspring of the divine. Today, I release all thought of weakness or impossibility. I feel the power of divine strength flowing through me, invigorating my body and bringing renewed clarity to my thoughts. The strength of God is my strength. The scripture is 1 Corinthians 1:25, for God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Amen. And now we will have the message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, honey. So the actual subtitle of today is Unadulterated Faith. I don't know if you saw that and wondered, what is unadulterated faith? We are still, and it's kind of still embedded in this idea to heal is to correct our perceptions. So we're not deviating too much from that idea of the how do we heal from our perceptions, but we're going to look at this very specific topic today of unadulterated faith. And again, you know, this idea of, you know, truly healing, we must learn how to correct our perceptions. And we're going to look at all the different, we're going to look at different methods of doing it today as we do each week. And we're going to continue with Jacob's journey to Haran so we can try to understand how Scripture is helping us to understand how to correct our perceptions. So this lesson, we'll explore some ways of healing our perceptions about faith. Not what we think it is, but rather what it actually is in its pure, invariable, unadulterated, original nature. An invariable meaning faith that is constant in its nature. And unadulterated means complete and absolute. So unadulterated faith is faith that cannot be contaminated by our fears. It is faith that transcends and actually washes away our fears. So unadulterated faith is not based on our perceptions of what faith is. Rather, and here's the concept I want us to begin to understand, unadulterated faith is what we must learn to surrender ourselves to. This is faith that is beyond our intellectual understanding and common practice of faith. So according to Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, faith is not something we can give to ourselves. Unadulterated faith is a gift from God. And this is what the scripture says about it. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. In other words, we didn't do this to ourselves. This faith is a gift from God. And it's not by your works. So it's not by what we do. So no one can boast. So we can't boast about why I gave myself faith, right? Faith is something we receive. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do, okay? So that scripture is explaining that this true idea of unadulterated faith is faith that we cannot give to ourselves. It's faith that we have to be open to receiving as a gift from God. By the grace of God, we receive this faith. So the way to experience unadulterated faith is to allow the Holy Spirit to heal us by correcting our false perceptions so that we are the, our false perceptions that we are not the originators of faith, okay? And so we need to come to understand that basically the faith we operate from, which works for us in many instances, is really not the pure faith. Unadulterated faith is not something that we would have to struggle to have. So if you find yourself struggling to have faith, that's not what we're talking about in terms of this unadulterated faith. All right, so ready, it is the truth of our being. Unadulterated faith is the truth of our being. It is our natural state, okay? And we were created out of faith. And there is so much in Scripture we can use to support our efforts to remember who we are. And as you heard me say before, whose we are, all right? So at times it may feel like we are struggling to embrace these divine ideas and implement them in our lives because there's just so much to them, okay? And we may be feeling we're getting nowhere. But if we read Isaiah 41:4, it says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." So it is ours to remember. What we need to remember is the Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory over all things. Okay? Now, the purpose of these scriptures is to strengthen us by giving us transformative affirmations we can use in place of the negative statements, almost like affirmations we commonly use. You know, when stuff is going on, if you think about it, you know, what do you commonly say when your faith is being challenged, right? Do you have positive statements, affirmative statements, or do you have negative statements? So instead of thinking or feeling the various ways we express, all the ways we have of saying, "I am afraid." And what's interesting, we may typically not hear ourselves say, "I am afraid," but we have to look to see if our words and actions are demonstrating that idea that I am afraid. So we want to substitute any expression of "I am afraid" with statements like, "I know God is with me." Okay? No matter what's going on, the first thing that comes to your mind is, "I know God is with me." Or, "I am strengthened, knowing I am in God's hands." Or, "The Lord is my strength and my song." I like that. "He has given me victory over all things." Okay? So these are sort of the ideas we want to keep in our head. So we experience unadulterated faith by realizing that we are God's handiwork. Okay? And it is up to each of us to remember who we are. And again, as I said before, whose we are. Remember, we are God's handiwork. We are the eachness of the allness, the individual expression of the divine idea. Okay? So all we have to remember is I am God's creation, made in the image and likeness of pure, unadulterated faith. Okay? Now, if that's too long to remember, just use a certain shortened version, or the shortened mantra version, "I am God's creation." Okay? Stuff is going on in your life, right away you center yourself and say, "I am God's creation." Which means you're positioning yourself to be open and receptive to God's living spirit of truth, to these ideas that you need to help you work through that which you're going through. And that's all you need, you know, to eventually, with committed practice, make unadulterated faith your true reality. Okay? So let's just say that unadulterated faith is the spiritual aspect of intellectual faith. Intellectual faith is a lot of times what we go to, but we want to transcend. We want to open ourselves up to receive unadulterated faith by the grace of God, as a gift of God. Okay. Now, you remember I talked about a corporate consultant in a TED Talk who explained the concept of having a mantra, which is a concise expression of your longer mission statement. Okay. And yes, typically when you talk about mission statements, you think of organizations as opposed to individuals. Okay. However, you've also probably heard me say, explain many times that the mission of Unity Center of Light, the mission statement we use for Unity Center of Light, actually came out of my personal mission statement. This was a mission statement starting back in 1980 that I was putting into all my syllabus that I hand out to the college, that by the end of this, you know, that I'm going to help you discover in this semester there's a power inside of you that's far greater than anything that exists outside of you. Okay. So, and that's kind of incorporated and guides almost everything that I do. But if someone asks, what does that mean? You know, what does that mean there's a power inside of you, inside of me that's far greater than anything that exists outside of me? I could give them the mantra version of it, which is, you are powerful. Someone says, what does that mean? The mantra version is, you are powerful, which the recipient can then use as their personal mantra and say, oh, I am powerful. All right? So three simple words any of us can use to remember to help us to shift our mental emotional state from fear to faith or from victim to master. All right? Three simple words. So I invite everyone to develop a personal mission statement. It's something I do at the college every now and have them, you know, develop their own personal mission statement, which you should have. Okay? And, you know, after you develop your mission, your personal mission statement, which might be several words, then develop a 3 to 4 word way to express it that's brief but comprehensive, okay, and easy to remember. And if you need some help putting that personal mission statement together, I recommend you read the book by Lori Beth Jones called The Path, which will walk you through step by step in terms of how to create your own personal mission statement. And I invite you to have your mission statement mantra ready by next Sunday's Zoom session to share, okay, and be mindful. And I want you to be mindful of the fact that this is going to count as 25% of your final grade, so you better get that done. Oh, but sorry, honey, I'm in the wrong place, right? Okay. So anyway, think about that. Think about writing your own personal mission statement and then creating this mantra, you know, 3 to 4 words that would express what your mission or purpose is here in life. So in our last session on Sunday, May 2nd, we were exploring the metaphysical meaning of Jacob and Esau. Okay. Now, the metaphysical explanation of Scripture helps us to get a better grasp on the path that we must take to grow into spiritual maturity and understanding as we say that we want to. Okay. So when trying to grasp an understanding of a spiritual concept like unadulterated faith, Scripture can be a great help. So we left off with Jacob setting out to Haran to find a wife in accordance with his father Isaac's wishes. Okay, and we explained that, let me just put this up here for you. We explained that Haran is an exalted state of mind wherein truth is lifted up in consciousness and the individual is strengthened in his or her determination to go on towards fuller spiritual enlightenment and understanding. Jacob, all right, who represents the mental phase of our mind, Esau, of course, being the physical, takes an inner journey. So Jacob has taken this inner journey. He's in Scripture, so he's going to Haran, but we understand what Haran means. So that means he's taking this inner journey to a place within himself, again, represented by Haran, where he will be strengthened in his determination to go on to fuller spiritual enlightenment and understanding. Okay, so that's just kind of a review from last week. Now, just another metaphysical tidbit. We know that Jacob and his mother, Rebekah, tricked Esau out of his birthright privileges, all right? So, you know, when you read that just as a story, you got to go, well, that wasn't right, okay? But let's try to understand what it means metaphysically. Esau represents the body or physical nature that operates from lower levels of consciousness tied to material reality, okay, often to the exclusion of higher levels of higher level principles. It is said that the majority of the human race operates from its Esau consciousness. In other words, we're more connected to materiality than we are to our spirituality. So if you look at Jacob and Esau, and you got to, you know, the idea is, well, I want to be like Jacob, but in actuality, a lot of us in our actions, our thoughts and behaviors are very much like Esau. And this is why metaphysically Esau has to be superseded by Jacob, who represents the intellect, which at least has an inkling of the concept of the spiritual I am within us, and is at least open to receiving divine inspiration, all right? So we will see this as Jacob's journey to Haran to find a wife continues, okay? Now, I'm going to read, this is going to be a long reading coming up. I'm going to split it into two slides, but this is Genesis 28, 10 through 18, all right? So, Jacob set out for Haran. At sundown, Jacob arrived at a good place to set up camp and stopped there for the night. Now, Jacob found a stone, that's going to be important, for a pillow, and lay down to sleep. As he slept, he dreamed of a stairway that reached from earth to heaven, and he saw the angels of God going up and down on it. At the top of the stairway stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your grandfather Abraham, and the God of your father Isaac. Okay? Now, the ground you are laying on belongs to you. I will give it to you, and you and your descendants. Okay? Next slide. Okay, and it says, I will be with you. This is an important part. I will be with you, and I will protect you wherever you go. I will be with you constantly until I have finished giving you everything I have promised. And then Jacob woke up and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I didn't even know it. He was afraid, and he said, what an awesome place this is. It is none other than the house of God, the gateway to heaven. Okay. Now, we're going to interpret a lot of that. And if you go to the scripture to read that, you're actually going to find that several sentences were taken out. And I took them out just because we're not going to deal with those today. Okay. Now, this is a fairly well-known story. I think everybody knows this story, which is symbolic of several spiritual principles. First is to understand that as you're making this journey from Haran to Haran, your mind is moving to a higher state of consciousness. You begin to get it where you didn't understand before, all right? So internally, when you start making this journey, and I would tend to say that the majority of us, of you listening to this, are on that journey. You are making that journey to Haran. Because I am willing to bet that if we, in a discussion, in a Zoom session, you could say, yes, I am starting to get it where I didn't understand it before. So that's the Jacob journey. That's the Jacob journey in which you are moving to these higher states of consciousness. So the answer to such questions like, you know, why am I going through this? What is the purpose of my life? You know, why is this happening? Why is that happening? And other ponderings that we have begin to become clearer to you. Okay, now the stone, and this is important, this is why these things start to become clearer to you. The stone Jacob placed under his head is symbolic of the place in your spiritual journey where your consciousness is illumined. Okay, now laying your head on the stone is symbolic of truly making real hard contact with your life experience. Okay. Now, I say it that way because a lot of times when stuff is happening, we want to like sweep it under the rug. Or as Jung said, we want to push it into our subconscious realm of mind. We don't really want to have to deal with it. But this idea of laying your head on a stone, as Jacob did, is symbolic of really being willing to make real hard contact with your life experiences, right? To sort of face what you're going through. And this symbolic ritual allows you to become aware of what you are experiencing in all of its aspects, okay? I don't know if you've ever had things happen in your life where you, like, I don't really want to know everything that's going on here, okay? But when you lay your head on that stone, symbolically, you are acknowledging you're willing to look at all of the aspects of whatever is challenging you. And it leads you to this I am beginning to understand moment, okay? I've heard many people say that, I'm beginning to understand, all right? In addition, the revealing word explains that sleep is the great harmonizer of discordant thoughts. It is where all the outer thoughts are stilled and the soul listens to the still small voice of spirit, okay? And if you look at the inner revealing word, there's a lot other things that they talk about what happens in sleep. So this is an extremely important fact, important part of the whole awakening process. Now, you all heard of Jacob's ladder, okay? The stairway or ladder, as it's referred to in some other versions of the Bible, is representative of a constant communication that is always happening between you and God, between me and God, okay, between us and God. There's this constant process always happens. So the ascending angels symbolize the aspirations, needs, and desires you direct towards God in your prayers. That's why we have to really be vigilant about what we are thinking, because our thoughts and words are always being heard. You know, our thoughts are prayers and we are always praying. You've heard that saying, okay? So these prayers are ascending into the realm that has the potential to shape or reshape your reality. Now, the descending angels symbolize God's responses and answers to our prayers and aspirations. But the answers are not always what we expect. This is why you always want to be to remain open and receptive to God's living spirit of truth. Because you cannot predict the answers you will receive or how they will show up in your life, okay? Because we're always sending these prayers up, consciously and unconsciously. As we're saying, we want to become conscious of what we're sending up, all right? But when those answers come back, that's where the vigilance has to come in. You have to be open to how those answers are coming into your life. And every rung on the ladder represents a prayer or an aspiration, okay? So every rung on the ladder represents a prayer or an aspiration from both higher and lower states of consciousness ascending into the realm that God is. So higher level thoughts, thoughts from higher level consciousness go up. You know, like when you say, I am God's creation, that's a higher level thought, okay? There is a response that will come from that. But when you send lower level things up, you know, you're saying, you say, well, I don't send those up, but they go up, right? That's the purpose of the ladder. It's this constant communication. It doesn't say, oh, that's good or no, that's not good, all right? It's just a constant flow. So, but those answers come back in. You have to be open and receptive to how they're coming in, all right? The fact that angels touch every rung of the ladder means that every prayer, no matter what level of consciousness is projecting it, has a corresponding response from God. And again, I'll say it again, this is why we want to be very vigilant about what we are thinking, right? As we read in Luke 21:34, be on your guard. Don't let the sharp edge of your mind become dulled by life experiences. Otherwise, the day is going to take you by complete surprise and bring you suddenly, trap you suddenly into a trap, okay? Now, listen to these words from, this is from a video, and I'm going to play this video for us in our Zoom session. It's from our headquarters, from our folks, our world headquarters at Unity Village, okay? And it's called The Power of Thoughts, How to Stay Centered No Matter What. This is what Unity Village is telling us. I pay attention to the thoughts that tumble through my mind and words that flow from my lips. If thoughts do not uplift my spirit, entice joy, and reveal truth, I send them back to the nothingness from which they came. I choose each of my words. The power of the spoken word brings life into manifestation. The power of my thoughts and words moves me closer to the truth of my being. Okay. And again, that's from our headquarters in Unity Center. So basically, always be mindful of what you are thinking and feeling. And to continue with the interpretation of Jacob's dream, the scripture explains that at the top of the stairway stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord your God, I'm the Lord of your grandfather Abraham, and the Lord of your father Isaac. The fact that Jacob awoke and was afraid and said, what an awesome place this is none other than the house of God. It's the gateway to heaven. Okay. Now, when he said all of that, that's symbolic of the shock to our personal self where we first realize the omnipotence and omnipresence of God right within our own being. Okay. And I know that we get tired of hearing about the ego, you know, what I refer to as the personal self, you know, every week it's always about the ego. But it's important that we understand that what happens to the ego when it discovers that it is not the true power, okay? That's the big struggle we're having, is that we're beginning to realize that what we thought was the true power is not the true power, okay? And as Jacob demonstrated, it is shocked and afraid. But by way of our Jacob awareness, the shock soon changes into a feeling of great faith, love, peace, and joy. And that's what you heard Jacob go through when he said, surely this is the house of the Lord. Okay? So the promise in this scripture is very important for us to understand. It is a promise we become aware of when we still ourselves and begin our journey to Haran, an extended state of mind where we seek to take a wife. All right? Now, metaphysically, to take a wife represents a unification of your I am conscious self with your feelings and emotional self. Okay? So taking of a wife is the unification of your I am conscious self with your feeling and emotional self. Your I am conscious awareness is your spiritual self that is aware of itself as being spiritual. Okay, so that's the part of us where we kind of get it, you know, you begin to understand, you get glimpses of that, all right? So in the context of this story, you are on an inner journey to untie your spirit, to unite your spiritual self with your feelings and emotions. Now, right now, our feelings and emotions are unified with our personal self that is often fearfully entangled in our life experiences and also easily discouraged. But when you embark on such a spiritual journey as symbolized by Jacob, the Lord God makes you a promise. I will be with you and I will protect you wherever you go. I will be with you constantly until I have finished giving you everything I have promised. Okay? And it's important in analyzing the scripture that we realize there is not a personal God making us this promise. Okay, I know I say that every week, but I think our mind could get trapped in that thought of wondering why God isn't doing what God is supposed to do. There is no personal God that's making these promises. Rather, there is a divine principle at work which fulfills the promise. And is that in which we move and breathe and have our being, okay? So consciousness is responsible for working with divine substance, bringing everything you desire into your life. And when you are on the exalted journey towards Haran, you'll begin to think exalted thoughts, which will translate into the good you desire. But if you're mentally stuck in Sodom and Gomorrah, I don't need to metaphysically interpret Sodom and Gomorrah, you will think negative thoughts, which will translate into experiences you do not desire. So because there is no person God to blame, it means that in every situation, you must stop and become aware of what you are thinking and feeling to determine where you are in consciousness, and then do the work necessary to remain centered in spirit. And as I always say, I know I say it every week, I know these lessons are challenging, especially when we get into interpreting scripture. It challenges us to think in a way that may be completely different from the way we normally approach life. Okay? But when we talk about spiritual subjects like achieving unadulterated faith, it requires exploring and working with ideas that are outside of the normal posturing of our intellect. So next week, we will continue with Jacob's journey to Haran and explore all he had to go through to connect with a wife, all right? And what that means. So he gets to Haran, he kind of determines what he wants, but there's a whole bunch of things he's got to do before he can get there. So we're going to look at those things, and we're going to try to figure out what does that mean to our own lives. So I'm going to leave you with this reading from Science of Mind magazine. It's funny, I was going to bring it down to read it. But fortunately, I have it in front of me here where I can read it to you. And this is from Friday, May 14th, 2021. Okay? And this is a really fascinating reading. It says, you're holding a cup of coffee, and somebody bumps into you, okay, making you spill your coffee. Now, why did you spill the coffee? Obviously, because somebody bumped into you, right? That's the answer we would give. Well, that's actually the wrong answer. You spilled the coffee because there was coffee in the cup. If there was tea in the cup or hot chocolate in the cup, right, that's what would have spilled. Whatever is inside the cup is what spills out. So in this thing called life that we're going through, there's always going to be someone or something that bumps into you. Whatever is inside of you is what will come out. You can put on a pretense and say all you want to make people believe what is or is not in your cup. But when you are shaken, the truth will spill out and be known. So ask yourself, what's inside of your cup? And why don't you say to yourself, when I get roughed up, what comes out of me? Is it rage, revenge, or some other nasty thing? Or do I become an expression of understanding, compassion, and love? You choose what you place in the chalice of your being. And so it is. Amen. And now we will have meditation with Pamela.
Okay, Unity Family, let's prepare now to quiet our minds and our bodies. Gently close your eyes and place your feet flat on the floor with your spine straight. And we'll begin by taking in three deep cleansing breaths. Breathe in and out. Breathe in and out. Once again, deeply in and slowly out. Continue with your rhythmic breathing and let us acknowledge the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit active in our lives and affairs, our nation, and our world. We decree our oneness with this mighty power as we all have been made in the image and likeness of God. We are all God's children, all heirs to God's kingdom. Take in another deep breath. Now, as you relax your neck and shoulders, allow yourself to become wrapped in the everlasting arms of pure love. As you begin to feel the presence of Spirit moving through you, let go of worry and of outside activities where you have no control. As you let go, you experience true peace and fulfillment. And now I ask that you take these words as your very own. precious spirit. I have learned not to give up when a door closes in my life, because I know that God is opening a window to new opportunities for me. So, if I come to what seems like the end of a relationship or way of life, I trust God and let go of all anxiety about such a change. Then I let God open the way to new blessings that are in store for me. As I let go, God shows me the way. God gives me strength and courage to take the first step in a new direction, or to go back one step if that is necessary. As I let go and let God, I release fears and concerns about the future. God is guiding me to the place where I will find the greatest peace and fulfillment. And now for the next few moments, let us clothe ourselves in the silence. Use this time to pray, receive answers to your prayers, and to be still. We are thankful, Holy Spirit, that you have heard our prayers this morning and you have answered them as you always do. We go forth this day with a new mind and a positive outlook to what is in store for each of us. Thank you in the name and nature of our elder brother and wayshower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is. Amen. Please take your time coming back to your surroundings. And remember that the Unity Center of Light is always here for you.
That was great. This is the time when we open our hearts and minds to allow some of the treasure that flows into our personal life to flow into our spiritual home. I ask you to hold your offering in your heart, in your mind, in your hand, knowing that as this moves from you into your spiritual center, you are supporting a work that works very hard to help us all understand the truth within ourselves. So as you're beginning to tap into that truth within yourself, we ask you to be open to supporting your spiritual home so we can continue bringing these services to you. So with that in mind, let us do our offering blessing together. We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings
as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen. And you have light notes?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, first of all, how did you like the Mother's Day service with Christine last week? We enjoyed it immensely. And Reverend Butch took a lot of notes. Unity by the Bay is offering Prosperity Plus 2 on Wednesdays beginning May 26th through August the 4th via Zoom. The class runs from 7 to 9 p.m. Please see the flyer in your weekly updates for details and the Zoom link. Mark your calendars and start reading for the next book club on June the 13th. The book is Begin Again by Eddie Gloud. On Sunday, June 20th, we will be celebrating Father's Day on what we call our Summer Music Sunday. Our guest musicians will be Safi and Amma. Come and share in the enjoyment of their music. Don't miss this service. Join with us in honoring the divine masculine nature. And I'm complete.
Okay. Yes, you are complete. So, this is a time we bless our path.
Yes.
We want.
We're going to bless the path that we each will walk this week. We're going to say that affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto together. I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful.
All right. And we might as well go right into our prayer for protection together.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. All right, so we are thankful to have had you with us this week. Hopefully, we're going to see you right after in the Zoom session. Otherwise, we say have a
great week.
Wonderful, wonderful, and safe week.
Yes.
All right.
See you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.